Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York, I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Get all my plays all weekend long at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everything, college hoop, pro hoop, you name it, NHL. You got Gervonta Davis fighting, PBC style. You got UFC 234 in Melbourne. It's a thick weekend of action. The Alliance of American Football, all that's happening. Just go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. We got daily fantasy rosters on there as well for everything. Sign up today, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Pharrell on the Bets is my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com. iTunes, Google Play, anywhere good podcasts are available. Subscribe free and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets.WWO. Check it out. We got shows 143 Saturday, 144 on Sunday brunch. Check it out. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, just so you know, next week on Wednesday, I'm out of here. I'll be back on the 25th. Zach Gelb will be doing the show most nights, and then on the Friday nights of next Friday and the following Friday, it'll be my buddy JT DeBrick. So, I'll be back on the 25th, allegedly, just so you know. So I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. That's it. And then hopefully before you know it, it'll be March. And then we're going to go down to Dallas March at least 15th and 16th, maybe 14th, 15th, 16th. I don't know yet. All I know is the fight is Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence at Jerry's World on the 16th, Saturday on Fox pay-per-view. The PBC fight of the year. We'll be there for that. And we're working on a bash in Dallas. At the very least, on Friday night the 15th, we're going to hopefully do a live show in Dallas. We're working with them down there. Hopefully, it'll all come together with the ticket, our great affiliate down there, 1310 and 96.7, the ticket, and all you P1s down there in Dallas. Get ready. Pharrell's coming back to Dallas. Strap in for that. Check out. Ooh. All right. So, let's go to the phones. I got a lot of fans on here. Mac and Jax, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Sorry, I'm getting excited for the AAFC. Being a Southeastern guy, we got some good Southeastern cities going to be going at it. It's football.
That's about all you got going for you, is some good cities, because I'm not buying that yet. I'm not, like, I got to see it to believe it, because I've seen all this stuff before, and they all end up flopping. Let's face facts. The XFL flopped. The USFL flopped. I mean, at the end of the day, they all did. Arena football is as, you know, flopped multiple times, right? I don't even know how it's still breathing. Like, they've gone under and then come back from the dead. All these football leagues don't work. That's what happens. The NFL is the deal, and that's it.
Yeah, but the thing is, we know what happened with the USFL. 45 messed that up. That thing was going pretty good. 4-5 messed it up by trying to go head on with the big boys. Stay in the springtime. Stay in your spot. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to repeat myself. I'll believe it when I see it, that this is going to be some kind of fantastic thing. I think people should be very careful with their, you know, you know what I'm doing all weekend? I'm watching AAF football until you're picking your nose so far. It's like having a crane up your nose. You'll be sitting there watching a game. You'll be digging for Shasta in your nose and eating popcorn with the same hand. Check out. Ooh. I don't even know what just happened right there, but it did not sound good.
Well, I'll be tuned in because I'm a football fanatic.
Well, there you go. So you enjoy that crappy football you'll be watching. Have fun with that. I'm watching Virginia and Duke, okay? So you watch the crappy game. Let me know how it works out for you. I'll turn it on. I guarantee you're going to be disappointed. I'll be shocked if I come in here on Monday and I'm like, man, did you see that? That was better than the Super Bowl. But then again, anything would be better than that Super Bowl. All right, Mac, get a hold of yourself.
I mean, I think the gambling aspect of it, because it's a lot more.
You start betting on the AAF, you're going to need a therapist.
I think that after this weekend, you get a little look at the teams. You can start to break it down a little bit. But I think that gambling is a little bit more prominent now than the days of the, and I'm talking about legalized gambling.
Right.
Obviously, there was gambling in the 80s when the USFL was around, but I'm talking to the extent that there is now. Don't you think now with a little bit more open-doored, legalized gambling that it could make it more interesting and more people will get involved? I just think that that could be a nice,
I think that
will help it.
I think that there's going to be a lot of, let's say, at the sports books, there's going to be a lot of football on the screens. And people are going to be going, what the hell is that? And then they're going to finally say, oh, that's that new league. And then eventually they're going to tell us, because, I mean, they're trying to sell it right now that it's on CBS, CBS Sports Network, NFL Network. They're lucky. I think they have some smart people, if you will, that are behind it, that are getting their games on these channels. I mean, obviously, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, isn't that what you said? There's going to be a game
tomorrow
on
night,
CBS.
8 o'clock, and then Sunday at 4 and 8.
I mean, that's unbelievable to me, if you ask me, that CBS is willing to air this new league on the network in prime time. And, they're probably, my guess is they're going to get smoked in the ratings with something else that's on network television. I don't know.
I mean, the only thing that's on sports-wise on network television is what? That Thunder Rocket game will be on.
That'll be on
ABC.
I would think that'll beat it. But, like, if they had a show, I'm just saying, let's say it was on a night, and it's not. But if, like, it was up against, like, This Is Us or whatever these shows that are, they would
kill
that.
Well, that's why Saturday night's okay, because there's no show. Nobody puts shows like that on Saturday night.
True enough.
Saturday night's not a bad night to do it.
And I'll give you that. I'm not even trying to be right. Do you think people actually watch television on Saturday night?
No.
I mean, people go out. They go to dinner and they try to get some relations going. That's what I do on Saturdays.
Now, I was reading one thing that they're also going to do is they've already got like some kind of partnership with the MGM where they're going to be putting like chips and stuff or you know, things inside the players like pads that they're going to be able to track these guys, and they're going to have like enhanced in-game betting, like in terms of how far runs are. Like, there's going to
really?
Be they're going to try to take in-game betting to like another level with this league. Basically, here's what this league is. This league is for things that they can try out and see how well they work, whether it's the no kickoffs, things like that, this enhanced
the
in-game
down.
Betting, seeing if all this stuff works here, and then you know who will take it if it works.
What'd you say? It's the onside kick that they give them a
fourth and 10 from the 35. 35. If all these things work, you know where you'll eventually see it. If
in
people
the
like it, that's where it'll go.
Right, and I'm sure they'll be watching.
They will be.
The NFL will be watching because of, like, Bill Polian and these guys.
And if they're throwing a game on NFL Network once a week, then clearly they've
got some
stake in
it. I do believe they'll be throwing some games. Oh, wait. Eric in Boise.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love listening to your show. Listen every night.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I was just kind of listening. You're talking about the kid from Duke.
Right.
And this will never happen. But, you know, the best thing that he could do is he could stay in college for a couple more years, develop the rest of his game, develop as a person so he's a little bit more mature.
Right.
And then when he comes out, he's got more to offer because he's not going to bang anybody around in the NBA. If that's his game, those first couple years are going to be rough. Not to mention he's going to be on a bad team. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know that'll never happen, but you've got to find a way to, when these kids are in college, to quit making it about, What's the next step? How about we focus on what he's trying to do right now, which is trying to win games at Duke?
I think the problem, obviously, is that's a fantastic idea, Eric, except that's not the way the world works anymore. So now they all go one and done, and that's it, and they're in the NBA. Whether they're ready or not is irrelevant. No one cares what happens to them. And I don't know if I agree with that he's not going to be able to bang. He'll be able to bang when you're 300 pounds and 6'8". You can bang, believe me. He'll be able to bang. I don't know how good he's going to be in the NBA right from the jump, or if he's going to, you know, dominate the NBA. Like, I thought, you know, when LeBron came into the league, right, didn't you think he was pretty incredible from the jump? I mean, he literally took the league by storm. And it's a rare day that you see that anymore from these top picks, right? They've had multiple disasters. The Bennett and, like, I don't care what anybody says, Fultz was a disaster. And that's it. Like, that's all there is to it. Now, Everyone loves the kid, Markelle Fultz, obviously. You see all these people feeling sorry for him, and they're like, oh, it's so sad how it worked out, because we all love him so much. I just wish I had more time to coach him. We never played him, but, you know, I feel like it's my fault that I didn't coach him more or get to know him. It's all just such BS. Just stop. He sucked. He never amounted to a hill of beans. Now they've moved him, and now everybody's saying he's going to have an open door here to learn from Clifford, and he's really going to be in a good place to become the pro that we all thought he would be, and it's all a bunch of BS. Like, what's he going to find his way down there? I hope he does, but was he, you know, they gave him chances, didn't they? And he just never panned out or did anything with it, and he's got some mental thing going. He's got, like, a tick. The guy, you know, when he pulls up to shoot, he just absolutely has mind games taken over, and he's got the yips. Guy can't hit a J, right? He's a disaster, can't finish layups, everything else. I don't know what happened to him because he was a 20-a-clip kid in college. Although I always told you he never won there. So I'm like, why are you taking a number one hit with a kid never won? He just, all he did was score, and he had the long arms. And remember they said he's got such length, and he's for a guard. He's got so all this other stuff. And then the bottom line was he never won. Like, if you're that great in college, like, look at this Zion Williamson. They're great, right? And he wins, right? And so the guy's got, he's a commodity. This other guy, all he did was lose, and they still took him number one, and look what they got. They got nothing but a disaster. I don't care what anybody says. That's what it was, a disaster. So let's get real here. Chris in Myrtle Beach, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Ferrella? You the man?
No, you're the man. Don't start with me.
I wanted to say what's up to Carver Hyde Moff, too. I love the show, man. I listen to you every night.
Sweet.
You guys are the ish.
Thank you.
I did want to just, if I could, hit on two quick things. First and foremost, about Zion. My kid filled me in on him last year and, you know, him coming up. And I've been catching a lot of his games. And honestly, I feel like next level, I don't see him being – really anything more than he is. I think he's a man amongst boys right now. But on that next level, I just really don't see it. I can see the weight being a potential issue. Yeah, I see he's got some handles and he's really quick, but he gets a lot of his burn and scoring right there in the paint. I don't know, you know, how his shot looks necessarily, but I think he's going to end up being a subpar player in the NBA, to be honest with me.
I actually don't believe that at all. He's got mad skills, and he's gonna score a lot in the paint and at the low block and on the rim and dunking and finishing and being powerful and backing guys down and banging. He's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with anybody. He's enormous. So it is what it is. So all this talk, I'll give you this. I don't see a jumper yet. He's got to work on his game big time. He needs a mid-range and some kind of a J. A lot of these big guys now are able to stretch and hit a three, right? That kid's not one of them. So he's got a ton of things to work on. He's 18 years old or whatever. I mean, it's time to get down to business. He's going to have to develop, right? But I think he's clearly got – mad skills. There's no way that everyone's wrong, that everyone, including Krzyzewski, who's a brilliant coach, and anyone in the NBA, they're all licking their chops for this guy. Every single team in the league wants him, so they're not all wrong and stupid. I think they've been wrong before on guys like Bennett, and I think they were wrong on Fultz. There's been a lot of guys like that. This guy is a monster, and he's going to be good. Like, you know, a lot of people think Ayton isn't that good, right? Like, he was the number one and went to Phoenix, and they're not winning, so they blame him. But I still think the guy's got, a huge upside in skill. And that guy can definitely get it on, and he can finish and score and shoot, and he's got a nice, you know, step-back shot and spin move finish. He's got good glass work. He can rebound, swat shots. He can run. So I think he's got a huge upside. And then, you know, people, what they want is they want rings immediately, and they want championships immediately, and they want, you know, 25 a night immediately, and they want him to be nice to the media immediately. And that's not the way the world works, okay? It's a mean world, okay? So nothing is nice and friendly and happy and cupcakes and kisses. You got to learn the hard way. And I think the kid will learn the hard way. But I think he will be, A box office draw, and B, a physical specimen. I mean, he's got the same body as LeBron James, except he's bigger. LeBron said he came in at 260, and now, you know, this kid's already 285. I mean, that means 25 pounds, he'd run right over him. I mean, literally, 25 pounds is a big problem. You don't realize it until you lose 25 or 30 pounds what that meant to you. Like, Mafia's probably, like, 6'5", 240 on me. And I'm, like, you know, 6'3", 205. But I was playing at 220, and I was a lot harder to move in the block at 220 than I am at 205. If I'm at 205, you can slide me around on that low block. If you're 240 pounds like Mafia, he can just shove me, and I start sliding on the floor. If this kid's 285, the other kid's 260, I'm going to take the 285 every time. He's going to pound you down and beat you and physically manhandle you. 25 pounds, a huge difference. Look in boxing. They just won't have it. They're not going to have one guy 25 pounds heavier than the other guy fighting until day of fight when they add all that water back on. Bottom line is, that extra weight makes him a mother Pharreller in the paint and low blocks. He's going to get it on in the NBA without a doubt.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so a couple things, and I'm going to hand it over to Carver High in a second. I wanted to go back for a second. The comment I made before, go home to soft D.C., you know, for Durant when I was saying that. What I meant was, just to be clear, I think D.C. is a great city, great sports fans. I love being on there. No questions asked. This is about, like, in terms of media, either stay in the Bay Area or go home where everyone's going to be nice to you in D.C., where it's a lot softer, if you ask me, than here in New York or Boston.
That's an ultra-soft landing spot for him. Nothing, I mean, against it. It's just like you said. It's his hometown. So
they're
going to
give him, like, that red carpet treatment. He's a hometown boy. So here, he's going to get abused.
Well, he'll get red carpet treatment here, too, but at the beginning.
Just the beginning, the first day.
Right.
And then from down, it's downhill from there. Nothing will ever be the same. If he doesn't win a championship with the Knicks, they'll abuse him forever. Look what they did to Melo. The only thing they do for Melo now is cheer him and give him a standing ovation for his time here because they realize they ran him out of here too, right? The New York will run you out of here as sure as I'm sitting here. You either win it all, like the 94 Rangers that won it all, and they honor him to this day and suck up to him to this day like no one's business, right? They're still selling that Jets name a Super Bowl around here. Trust me, if they win it, you'll be remembered forever. You'll be a hero forever. Look at the Yankees. I mean, these guys are heroes. But I'm just saying soft because I think it would be soft for him to go there. Go home, and he'll probably give you the royal treatment and a Rolls Royce to go with it. And then as far as I want to compare him to Zion, you know how Durant has been saying this week, in not so many words, leave me alone. I just want to play ball. I think that's what they should do for Zion Williamson. Leave him alone and let the kid be a kid and play ball and turn into what he's going to turn into. I do not believe Kevin Durant deserves that treatment because when you're the most sought-after unrestricted free agent in the MVP twice in the NBA Finals and the most coveted player in basketball, right, which is what he is, you don't deserve to be left alone. When you make that kind of money and you're the best player in the league and everybody wants you, the free agency questions are going to be there every single day of your life, whether you like it or not. The kid that should be left alone and let him just go to work and play ball is Zion Williamson. Durant deserves no special treatment whatsoever being the superstar that he is. When he was playing in Austin and he was nobody and everybody was saying this guy's going to be a star, he was very humble and everything. When he got up here and then Oak City, he was a great kid. When he went to the Warriors, everybody said, you went the easy way out. And then they started abusing him. And never since then, he's turned into this beast that he is now, which is he doesn't like anybody. Get away from me. Screw the media. You're all a bunch of idiots. Grow up, all the rest. You know, it's like looking at himself in the mirror. You need to grow up, bro. You're tripping. You need to, like, figure out that this is about you because you're the man. Everyone wants you. So you think they're going to just ignore you or not ask you questions? You are just absolutely dumber than I think you are because I hear you're the greatest guy ever, philanthropist, all the rest. But if you're so stupid you can't realize why they ask you questions every day, then you need to grow up. The kid they should leave alone and let him just ball is Zion Williamson because they've already ruined him. That kid, I don't care what you say, there's no kid on the face of the earth alive that can have ESPN dedicating 23 hours a day to programming about you alone that's not going to be affected by that. It's going to change anyone. When you're a celebrity on there and they make you just the greatest thing since Jesus Christ, there's no way you can avoid it not affecting you. That kid can't walk on campus when he got to Duke, let alone what they've turned him into. They've turned him into a monster, and it's not because of him. It's because of them. The media has done this to him, that he's already going to win 10 NBA championships and all this other nonsense. I've heard it all. I can't even take it anymore. So I just wanted to be clear on all that. Carver High, give me the tweet.
This is from your boy Miguel Pierre, who said, you think that an early Blake Griffin would be a good comparison with Zion, basically dominate within 12 feet, and it might take some time for him to work on his overall game all over the place.
Without a doubt, that is spot on. I said this multiple times. The kid has enormous skills from the elbows in. And on a in transition, forget it. He's a flyer and a dunker. We all get that. Oh, congratulations, you're 6'8", 285, and you can dunk. Imagine that. I know 5'8" brothers that can dunk now that have hops, that can run a lot faster than him. Believe me, you. So here's the deal. The guy has to develop a mid-range game and a J and a turnaround and a you know, baseline J. And he's got to have, you know, a wing J. I saw him the other night pull up from three from straight out. It was embarrassing. He chucked an air ball. I mean, he missed the basket by 7 feet. I don't want that guy shooting threes, right? But they've tried to turn him into everything. He should pull up from wherever. That's not his game. His game is a Charles Barkley game, is it not? Go to the rack. That's his game. Go to the hole, finish, and get fouled and get to the line, right? I mean, I've seen him hit free throws, so I don't even know what he's shooting from the line, but at least I've seen him hit some free throws because he gets fouled a lot. And now, you remember, a lot of times when a guy's that big, 6'8", 285, he's not going to get the calls because they think that he, you know, it's just part of the territory when he mows through everybody and gets to the rack, right? He's going to get chopped up going through there. Every night he plays in the league, he's going to have cuts and bruises and banged up. He's going to get mauled. First of all, when you get to the next level in the NBA, do you think these guys are going to sit there and let this kid come in and start doing whatever he wants without making him pay for it? You're going to come down the lane. Somebody's going to teach you who your maker is. Someone's going to, you know, let you know where you stand in the world of femininity. You know what I mean? Honestly. Is it about time? It really is, isn't it, Mafia? You can feel it coming. I can feel it coming right now. I just mentioned that word and things happen.
If there's a woman out there, what to find out just where she stands in the world of femininity. Jump on the horseman one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Carver High just said to me in passing, he's like, at what point are you going to get to the betting for college basketball Saturday? Because he goes, I got my notepad ready, and I want to get a lot of action in before I go to bed tonight. He's like, I just need the skinny on where you're headed with the bets.
Need some picks.
So, like, what we're going to do is basically, I think, dedicate, you know, at some level, the last hour to you know, problematic gambling issues. So we like to, well, I do. I picked about, 42 games, something like that. 17, does that make sense? 17 ranked and 25. Is that about 42? I think it is. I skipped math that day. I went down to the railroad tracks and smoked reefer with my friends. Wait, are we on the air? Check 1, 2, check. By the way, it was 55 degrees in New York City today, and now outside it's about 2. What happened there, Carver?
No, it wasn't that warm.
It was 50 at least.
Not really. I got to tell you, I was out. I mean, I was at the garage this morning, and it was...
It was cold.
It was cold, especially, you know...
It was 30-something.
And I was waiting for it to warm up because they kept saying it would get in the 50s. I left the garage at 1. It wasn't warm the whole time I was there.
So,
I mean, it was...
I'm hearing that it's going to be freezing ass tomorrow.
It's going to be in the 30s, I mean.
No, but I heard it's going to be wind chills in the like, 5 degrees.
It's very possible.
Excuse me, I'm choking to death, and I like to do it on the air so people can feel the realness of the show. Carver High and Mavi are very popular, and they like everything to be in the moment, live, no taped anything, no Memorex. Did that one go right over everybody's head? Is it live or is it Memorex? Anyway, Mafia's not enjoying this phase of the show. He's like, get to it. This is why we get recognized now, because these two guys keep me on the rails. And I'm not talking about Sheba. I'm talking about staying on the tracks, staying on the show, stay focused. You know, hit that phone number. Talk, play the hits, talk sports. Hey, anyway,
Can't be with that sweet stuff.
I'm just not going to say what I was about to say that would have gotten me in some form of trouble by Monday morning. I'm just going to stop what I'm doing right now, change directions, turn left, and take calls. Tim in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, dude.
So, my question is to you is, what do you think the Pats are going to pick up in the draft and, like, what they need to get back in the next 2 years that we have?
I mean, honestly, Tim, get him a beer. Can I get him a gigantic beer? Because, like, are you serious? What? I have no idea. I haven't the foggiest idea. It's got to be rough to pick the draft pick that they're going to make when they get the worst one every year because they win the Super Bowl.
I mean, are we serious here? Like, honestly.
That just happened.
The last
team. Who are they going to draft?
The only team in the entire NFL that shouldn't give a rat's ass about the draft is the team that just won the Super Bowl, especially one that wins the Super Bowl.
Every year.
Or shall I say is in it every single year.
Every year. Yeah, thanks.
Every year.
I don't know who they're drafting, but I'm sure they'll be going to Canton when it's all said and
done. Of course they will. Worrying about the draft.
Did you see? I would have rather talked about your boy Edelman getting his beard shaved by Ellen DeGeneres for $20,000 to the boys' clubs and girls' clubs, boys and girls' club of Boston. That was great, or Massachusetts, or wherever. God bless everyone in Boston and New England and the Northeast. Have to deal with a lot harsher climate than the rest of us. It's cold in New York. It's freezing ass in Boston. When we get snow, they get just disastrous, like, just enormous snow piles, just thousands of feet of snow. Thousands. Will in Boston.
Pharrell, what's going on?
Hey, dude.
All right, first off, before I say anything, was that Tim from Massachusetts who called in like an hour ago, the same Tim from Massachusetts who said that nonsense about trading Kyrie for Anthony Davis?
No, it was not the same person, but it was his next-door neighbor who he smokes a lot of reefer with in the garage.
Ridiculous. Regardless, Pharrell, I just want your take on, you know, I know how you said that, you know, Anthony Davis is already a top five player. Jason Tatum's, you know, the ceiling for him is hoping that he is a top 10 player. You know, I get that, but I just feel with all the circumstances, like you said earlier, they like their team now. I just can't, as a guy who bleeds green, I cannot trade Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
I can't for out.
I don't either. And, I thought I made that clear. I think you're following me on that you and I are on the same page. There's, to me, I get it why there would be interest in him, AD, but I actually believe that this is a, you know, this is a great organization. They know what they're doing. Danny's loaded with just bullets in his holster. He's got so many picks. He's got anything he wants he can do. He can accomplish anything. They got all the money in the world. And they're going to be, you know, if you ask me, I know everyone thinks it's going to be Milwaukee and Toronto now because they got Gasol. I still think it's going to be Boston and Philly when it's all said and done. I hope it's, you know, something else. I'd love to see Giannis, you know, play Boston and something like that. Philly's going to have something to do with it now that they got this all-star team. It doesn't mean they're going to be completely in sync and rhythm and you know, chemistry-wise. I watched them tonight. They looked really good. I'll tell you why they look good tonight. If you ask me, they look good tonight because J.J. Redick, like, was literally on fire. I mean, he was hitting everything. I think the guy cashed in his first six threes. And, I mean, he was hitting them off screens like nobody's business. The guy had a great game. I was watching him all night. He had 34, 3, and 3. He was lighting it up. No one could stop him. That's why they won the game by 7. I thought he looked fantastic, and he's capable of having a night like that. 11 of 15 from the floor, 6 of 7 from downtown in the 34. So that's why they won the game. I thought Harris looked okay. He's a 21-point a night guy, and he had 14 tonight. I saw him. He hit his first few shots, like a couple of wing jays and a little popper step back in the paint. That looked really good. Then I thought he started to force it and tried to make too many shots the rest of the way. I think he'll get in a rhythm there and start scoring his 21 a night. 14 to me is a bad night for him, if you ask me. He had 8 and 3 to go with it and a steal. I thought his debut was solid, but I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it was anything to write home about. So give him some time to get used to it. As far as, you know, Boston goes, that lineup, there's nothing wrong with it. They're loaded. I think there's a big difference between Danny Ainge and this guy Pelinka and Magic Johnson. They're willing to trade the entire franchise to get him and, frankly, humiliate every player on that team. They literally tried to move the entire organization, right, besides the janitor and Jeannie Buss. They literally offered everybody up on a platter. And the Celtics, I thought, you know, held their cards, didn't, you know, get into that manipulation of the media and try to, like, we're going to trade this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. You didn't see any of that. That's because they got a great team already. They really do. They're solid. They're loaded. They're deep. They play the game the right way. They're physical when they want to be. They're defensive when they want to be. They're offensive when they want to be. They can shoot. I'll tell you one thing. I've said before I thought Hayward has not looked good this year. I thought the other night I watched him in the Laker game, I thought he looked a lot better in that game than I've seen him play all year in terms of his going for it, in terms of his getting into the paint and making shots. He had a couple of follow dunks. He went to the rack with confidence, like not worried about his landing. You know, on a runway and not worrying about feet underneath him and things like this. He just played like he's capable of playing the guy that they wanted in Boston. It's the first signs of it I've seen. You got to be tepid after an injury like that. You got to be nervous a little bit. I would be freaked out. When I broke my hand in five places and wore a cast for 9 months, I was very nervous when I took it off and played without the cast. And I tripped out about it for a while and freaked out about it. I was very worried about it. I think that's what he was playing like. To be honest with you, playing in fear of it happening again, there's nothing worse than, you know, shattering your leg and breaking it and everything else. So I think that now he's starting to play like he's capable of, and he's, you know, he's going to do what he normally does, and I think that's play at a different level. All these guys, Smart's playing at a different level. He's always the thug defensively, and he bangs, and he'll get in your face. But now he's hitting some shots. I think Brown can light it up. Tatum, I would never trade Tatum if I were them right now at all. And I think their priority should be Kyrie and giving him the max deal and keeping him in Boston. I find it troubling how hard it is to keep some of these divas happy. It really is amazing to me. Like, what doesn't Irving have in Boston besides the world at his fingertips? I mean, he's the man, isn't he? What more do you want? I mean, how many places can you be the man? Because I guarantee you go to L.A., you're not going to be the man again. You were never the man in Cleveland either. You're the man in Boston, but that's not enough. What is enough, for Christ's sakes, at some point? Just sign the deal, stay there, and win a championship. You know, that's one thing I think that he needs to do in Boston is to get that team a championship. Because they always win championships. Eventually, the Celtics are going to win another one. We all know it. So let's see Kyrie do it there. And if he doesn't, if he bolts, I think Tatum can do it without him. I do. I think your guy's a badass. And I wouldn't trade that Brown either, to be honest with you. And some of these guys like Tice and, like, I think Bane's kind of a fat ass. I'm not a big fan, but I know he bangs and he's physical and everything. That Tice guy, though, I've seen him hit a lot of shots and make plays and alley-oops and everything else. I kind of am starting to dig his game a little bit. He's kind of a rough player, physically speaking, that has a little bit of a touch from outside. Tony in Toronto.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, bro.
Wanted to change a little bit to NFL football, if I could.
Yeah.
With all the hype, you know, about the dynasty team with New England, the best of all time, and Brady and Belichick being the best combo.
Right.
I differ in opinion. I'll say we'll go back to the 80s, San Francisco 49ers, Bill Walsh and Montana.
Right.
The 90s, Aikman, Jimmy Johnson, Cowboys.
Right.
And even going back to the 70s, Pittsburgh Steelers and Bradshaw. You know what? If New England had those caliber teams to play against, I think they'd be fortunate to win one Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm willing to go with you on the phase of your comment being that I'm absorbing from it is that, like, you know, now in this time now, in this decade now, in this window of 18 years, they have, you know, been the best team, right? And then in the 90s there, it was the, you know, Cowboys. And then in the 80s or whatever, it was the Niners, right, with Montana. And then in the 70s, it was Nolan Bradshaw and Harris and Lambert and Ham and Shell and Blunt and L.C. Greenwood and Joe Green, right? All right. So all it is it's just a different time, a different era. And It's no different than those great teams. There's no arguing what Walsh and Montana did, and there's no arguing Bradshaw. People have forgotten. I've had this conversation. They've forgotten Bradshaw even played in the NFL. The guy won 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, and he won all 4 of them. So you can say whatever you want, and anyone that talks about that guy not mattering is an idiot. You're just an idiot. And then, you know, no one can argue with what Aikman did in Dallas. Those were really good teams, though. But I thought they were really good teams, Dallas, so let's be clear. But they're not as good as this team. So you're talking about this team wouldn't beat any of them, and they wouldn't win one game. They wouldn't win one Super Bowl. That's ridiculous. You have to let's be realistic here. They've won 6 of them, and you're sitting here talking about them not being able to win one game? Stop yourself. Just stop, okay? Stop. You're like saying it's apples and oranges. They were great, but this team sucks because you don't like them. That's what it is. I mean, that's pretty much what it is, right? You don't like them. So I don't like them either, but I respect the hell out of them. I'll tell you that much, because they're a great football franchise, a great team, a great coach, the best coach ever. I'm done with all this Lombardi stuff. This guy passed him a long time ago. And so that's that. And, you know, I think the world of Chuck Knoll. And when he passed, I felt like I got kicked in the gut. And he was, you know, had dementia and everything else. It was horrible. And then, you know, Bill Walsh, another genius. So, but nowadays everybody's a genius, right? They've already said Sean McVay's the greatest mind that we've ever known. A lot of good that did him a couple Sundays ago. That great mind of his, that worked out really well. I don't want to hear it. He's never won anything. He got to the big game and lost, and the old man schooled his ass. That's it. Schooled his ass. Boom. End of discussion. But to sit here and say that they would never win a game, that's what he said, right? They'd never win a game. They'd never win a Super Bowl against those teams. I just, frankly, don't believe that. I think they can, you know, this team, and they've had 6 different teams, and all of them were really damn good.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.